Yeah, let's go to prayer and I'll turn it over to Brad. Father, we are thankful for a morning like this just to get together and have the blessing of community, regardless of what is going on in lives and however many people there are in this room. There's that many combinations of joys, blessings, gratitude, concern, fear. Just as we are, we come to you and we come together and we're so encouraged by the fellowship. Thank you for that. What a blessing to have our eyes raised and look at what you're doing throughout the world. It's easy to not see that and get really, really focused on just what's around me. But Father, thank you for this blessing from the World Missions, to Thailand, to other parts of Africa represented, the work in this room, to what Brad does. And we just thank you for him, his work for the kingdom and his friendship and his work for this church. And we just pray that you'd speak through him today. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it over, Brad. This quarter, as you know, we were going to have Olin Stubbs teach. He went in the transfer portal and went to the Hava Park Church. And it has turned into a quarter about evangelism, because we've had different people talk. And so that has worked out. It's really worked out great. So, Brad, we're going to expand our. Thank you. Thanks. So, turn it on. It's your mission. What you actually do.
Thank you. Hola, amigos. ¿Cómo estás? Buenos dias. So good to be with y'all today. Praise the Lord. Just give me one second here. Get my act together. All right.
Is that working?
It was working.
But you didn't.
Hold on.
Let's see.
Go back to where you were.
Let's try it again.
Right. Yeah. Back to where you were.
Go back to Kenya.
Help me out. Help me out.
I had trouble with my AV team too when I was here.
Oh, there we go. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Let's see if I can do this.
Okay. Wonderful.
Sometimes with things work.
So I'm Brad Taylor. I work with World Reach, which is a mission organization based here in Birmingham. Colleen, my wife, sends her love and greetings to you. We have just spent this weekend taking care of our three small little grandkids under the age of 7. So we're both more tired than when I got back from Kenya.
Yeah.
So, but she does send her love and her greetings to y'all. So I work with World Reach. Actually, before that, we came from Spain. We were missionaries in Spain. And for those of you who don't know, we came to Briarwood in the year 2000, came on staff. Tom Cheeley hired us and we planted the Hispanic church, here at Briarwood. And I pastored that church, for 18 years. So then in 2018, we transitioned, to work with World Reach as missionaries again. And, we're based here in Birmingham, and we go and we teach. And actually, I'm the international director for our, Bible institutes, mobile Bible institutes, which are like Bible colleges or, kind of like seminaries, in a mobile way, mobile. We move them to the places where people have no access to any kind of training at all. So as you might know, in the world of missions, the church, the evangelical church is growing in many places like South America, Latin America, Africa, Asia. But the experts say that probably 90% of all evangelical pastors have zero training. Like no training at all, like no seminary, no, they might, you know, study the Bible or know the Bible well, but they haven't had any training. And so that's where we come in. We go and we bring that training, biblical ministry, theological training, to equip them, pastors and church leaders in South America, Africa, Asia, so they can plant, evangelize, make disciples, plant churches, and pastor churches, and care for believers and reach the lost. So it's a really exciting ministry. And so I wanted to share with you about that a little bit today. So we have, I'm over the Bible Institutes, Mobile Bible Institutes. We call them BIs, you know, Bible Institutes, all over the world. Through our BIs, we train national pastors, aspiring pastors, and church leaders for gospel ministry. So we're equipping the national so they can go and take the gospel, you know, to all the nations and communities. So we have BIs in these countries. We have that one in Kenya, one in Uganda, four in Colombia, South America, two in Honduras, two in Peru, one online Spanish BI. So we have 11 total BIs throughout the world, plus some other programs. And we have about 710 students who are studying with us. So it's an exciting ministry to be part of. And also talk about Kenya first. I just got back from Kenya last Sunday. Like I said, the grandkids wore me out. it was a great trip. We had we taught our students a course on evangelism explosion, along with our missionary Larry McNeil. Larry McNeil's an African American guy. Man, he loves the Lord. He brings the gospel. That guy can preach, dude. we had 3 days of training. Anybody here has taken evangelism explosion? You know, at Briar, we have a many years history with Dr. Barker of training people in evangelism explosion. And we train them in the EE. And actually, during the 3 days of training, each student practiced with a partner in front of the whole class. So that was really good. And Larry McNeil has had about 35 years experience in prison ministry. So he wanted to go to a prison in Kenya. And I'm like, okay, we'll go as long as you don't leave me in prison. I'm kidding. And so we went to, on Thursday, a week ago Thursday, we went to the Machakos prison to share the gospel in the men's prison and in the women's prison. This is a picture of our group of students. They wouldn't let us take pictures of the prisoners or take our phones in there, but the official, the guards, took pictures for us. Okay. But Larry, he just brought the message. He was unbelievable how God used him. There were 1,000 men, prisoners in this courtyard when we finally came in. Of course, the day that we're supposed to go to the prison, the bus was supposed to be there at 8 a.m. and 9 o'clock it wasn't there. Actually, 8:30 it wasn't there. 9 o'clock it wasn't there. 9:15 it wasn't there. I'm calling my guy Isaac. Isaac, where's the bus? Come on, where is it? He goes, there was a mix up. They thought it was Saturday and not Thursday, but they did send the bus and, we were able to get there. About an hour and a half late, but it was Kenya time, right? So, but he preached the gospel to 1,000 men in that courtyard, powerful message. He gave an invitation. He said, I don't want you to come forward to me. I want you to come forward to receive to Christ, to come to God. I want you to give your lives to Jesus. I want to pray for you. And never seen anything like it. 179 men came forward to receive Christ. I'm like, wow, this is just sad. This is just God. Larry is the guy right there in the white pants. Right there, that's Larry. This right here is Isaac, our Kenya director, our World Reach Kenya director. So, like I said, Larry brought the message. It was tremendous. So, then we went to the women's prison, which is, adjacent to the men's. And we went in there and, it was another interesting thing is Larry had raised $3,000 to buy supplies for the prison, for the prisoners. We'd asked the officials for a list of needs and we tried to meet those needs. And we bought like 200 plastic chairs. We bought like 50 cases of soda, 20 cases of diapers for the ladies and like all kinds of supply, a mountain of supplies. So if you go back here, you can see some of the supplies there that we had bought. And, Larry tells us beforehand, they're going to let us in the prison. This is our first visit ever to this prison. And I'm like, how can you be sure, Larry? Because God's going to open the door. And then when we brought all these supplies, the prison guard said, the official said, yes, please come back. We want you to come back. Come back next month. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says, he who comes bearing gifts, makes room and is ushered before great kings. And that's what God did. He opened the door for us through these mountain of supplies. But it was really special, trip. So then in the women's service, we came in and there were still about 78 ladies there. Now in Kenya, the women have their babies with them in the prison. Up until about the babies are about 4 years old, they have their little child, with them in the prison. And so about maybe four or five ladies had an infant with them or a toddler kind of a thing. But we had about 78 ladies, women, prisoners for that service. And Larry preached on the Samaritan woman at the well meeting Jesus. And, it was an incredible message. He really related, well to the prison, to the ladies. And then he gave the invitation and two young ladies came forward to receive Christ. So that was really cool. So then on Friday, the day after that, we sent out all of our students. This is back in Muthafini, where we have our pastoral training center in Kenya. And we also have a medical clinic, there. So we, after all the students had learned, how to share the gospel, we sent them out in teams, just like we used to do here with EE. And they went out and, 9 different teams. They shared, 101 people heard the gospel. And 49 people prayed to receive Christ on that Friday. And actually, Larry and I stayed in the compound, because we wanted the students to go do the work. And so when they came back, they all gave their reports and it was amazing. So during that week, this past week, 231 people prayed to receive Christ. So praise the Lord. That was one of the most fruitful. We just saw God working in a tremendous way. And thank y'all for praying for that. Then on Saturday at the end of that week, this is the end of a 4-year program. So we have in each of our Bible institutes, it's a 4-year program and students take about between 15 and 18 courses. They'll come together, take a week long course, intensive course. And then 2 or 3 months later, they'll take another course. And so they'll take a total of 15 to 18 courses. And this group of students now have their graduation. So it was a wonderful day on that Saturday. We had 39 students graduate and they finished their 4-year program of 18 courses and they received their diplomas, which is really, really, really great. Then they asked me to preach. Okay. Y'all like the hat? Okay, so I did not choose that hat, okay? The hat was assigned to me, but everybody had their graduation robes on, and the funny thing is it's about not, there in Kenya, it's at the equator, it's about 95 degrees, okay? We came from Birmingham, it was what, 25 or something? And everybody was under these tents, but the podium was under the sun, under the baking sun. And usually I have my message on my iPad, So I bring my iPad up there. I put it on the podium. I start preaching. And then within 5 minutes, the little red block says, your iPad is shutting down. It's too hot. It's overheated. I'm like, oh no. Oh crap. And I had my iPhone, which had my passage on it. And I couldn't see because the bright reflection. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? So thankfully there was a Bible, a study Bible we were giving out to each student. So I just preached, from memory. God help me. And it went very well. So anyway, these kind of things happen when you're in missions, right? Here's a photo of all of our students at our pastoral training center in Muthithinny. This is from last year. Colleen went with me on this trip. And so we're going to start a new group of students here in April. This will be our seventh group of students who've been through the program. Praise the Lord. So here's Uganda. 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago in 2023, we launched a new BI in Kayunga, Uganda, with 25 pastoral students. And so far we've taught 9 courses. Uganda, we're doing about 4 courses a year. And the students are really enjoying the biblical teaching and training. Last May, I taught them a course on spiritual life. It went very well. And then this May, I'll be going to teach missions, evangelism, and church planning. So that's a great group of students in Kayunga. It's about 2.5 hours northwest of Kampala. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Uganda, but it's a very poor country, but God is really working greatly in Uganda. During my course last year, they learned how to share the gospel, the good news of Christ, with others and help people grow in their relationship with the Lord. And then after taking that course, this pastor is actually teaching his people how to share the gospel with others, just using like the 5 fingers of your hand, you know, grace. Heaven is a free gift, is not earned or deserved. Man is a sinner, he cannot save himself. God is loving, does not want to punish us, but is just, and he must punish us for our sins. Christ, who he is, the infinite God-man. Y'all remember this from PE, right? So anyway, the 5 fingers of the gospel. And also we're exploring the possibility of starting a new BI in Eswatini. This was formerly Swaziland. Quite interesting, right up here inside of the country of South Africa, so which is a very, very long flight from about a 17-hour flight from Atlanta, long way away. Now in Colombia, we have 4 BIs in Colombia. Now usually, I'm the overall director, but I have national directors for each country. So Isaac Kaimeni is our director for Kenya and Uganda, and Kristen Fuentes is our director for Colombia. So I work closely with each national director in order to it's really a team effort, right, to have these BIs. So we have one in Cucuta, which is right up there near Venezuela, and then we have one in Puerto Nidida, which is right over here on the eastern part, also near Venezuela in the Amazon jungle. Then we have one in Medellin, which is a big city, right? Kind of central Colombia. Then we have one in Cordoba, or Monte Líbano is the town there. So in Cucuta, that's an interesting BI, just started last year. The story of how it started is that they were inviting us to come. And the church leaders there, and this is Christian Fuentes, and we're there in Cucuta. So what happened 2 days before, we had planned a trip last February, and I was going to fly to Bogota and meet Christian, and then we were going to go to Cucuta, okay? So 2 days before, on Wednesday, terrorists set off 5 or 6 or 8 bombs, terrorist bombs, in Cucuta. And the whole city was just like going, you know, going. Actually, they're quite used to that. There's a pretty active, you know, like FARC and different terrorists there. So we were like, maybe we're not going to go to Cucuta. But you know, we asked the local leaders there, should we come? Is it safe still to come? And this is actually the border crossing, with Venezuela. Be aware in the news just like the last few weeks, after U.S. took Maduro from Venezuela, right? The Colombian government sent 30,000 troops to Cucuta, because that's it's a border crossing from Venezuela. There's a bridge there. And so the Colombian government says, we don't want to, you know, have a huge influx of, of Venezuelan immigrants, because they've already had like a million people come from Venezuela into Colombia. So anyway, so we're like, should we go or not? And after a few days, the local leader said, actually, when I flew to Bogota, I did not know if we were going to go to Cucuta. I'm like, maybe we will, maybe we won't. So I get there and to Bogota, and Christian said, it's okay. They said everything's calmed down, everything's safe. We can go. So like, Lord, please keep me safe. So we went and we had a great turnout. That was a year ago. And, so now we have actually, we've launched that BI. We have 40 students in our Cucuta BI, and they've already taken 4 courses this past year, and they'll have their 5th course next weekend. So it's a really special, that's a special group. But y'all can pray for Cucuta, because it's definitely a, you know, kind of a dangerous situation in effect. So, but for example, we had an American teacher who was going to go in February, but we had to cancel his trip. I'm supposed to go in August, but y'all can pray that things calm down and I'll be able to still go. And the church members there have a real heart for reaching out to children and young people and adults for Christ. Now, this is the second one in Colombia, BI. This is in Puerto Inirida, which is in the Amazon jungle in the eastern part of Colombia. And it's an exciting BI because we're training pastors, aspiring pastors, and church leaders from several tribes that actually live in the Amazon jungle. Okay, so they're coming out of the jungle. Missionaries went there. Actually, a missionary lady went there about 50 years ago and brought the gospel into that region. And now there's like 200 churches in the Amazon jungle, which is really inaccessible. Okay, the Amazon jungle is like as big as half the United States in its size, but there's no road going into it. You can either take a boat or you can go in a water plane. Kind of like Jim Elliott and those guys, you know, they water plane. It's literally inaccessible except by water, really. So these guys come out. It's like a port city right on the river. And they don't speak Spanish. They speak Spanish as their second language. Their first language would be like Puinabe or Piapoco or a tribal language, okay? This is actually Puerto Inirida, right on the river, and across that river is Venezuela, okay? So, last February I taught them a course on hermeneutics, how to interpret the Bible correctly. And very interesting. So half of them speak Piapoco, and half of them speak Puinabe. These are tribal languages. So they speak Spanish as their second language. And you see here, they have the New Testament in Piapoco. Now they do not have the Old Testament in Piapoco. So many of those languages, they may have a portion and they have New Testament, but they still don't have the whole Bible. So pray for those Wycliffe and other Bible translators that they can, you know, get the scriptures translated. It's a huge need. But one of our leaders there, and actually a lot of them have cell phones. So he had the New Testament in Piapoco on his cell phone, and he showed it to me, right? And I mean, you can't really read it, but like I do know Dios. Y'all know Dios, right? God. Dios, hijo, wepe ta kata, ya no de atawat. Anyways. So, you know, they can get an app with the New Testament in their own language, which is, that's pretty amazing. So here's our class here, in Puerto Inirida, with their course manuals after they finished the hermeneutics, course last February. Okay. So then here's one of the churches that we preached at. I got to preach at this church last March 1st. There was like 250 people there, and I preached the gospel, and like 12 or 15, prayed to receive Christ or raise their hand. They wanted to commit their lives to the Lord. So God's doing great things, and it's exciting to be a part of what he's doing. Amen.
Medellin is our third BI in Colombia. We have 32 students in our Medellin BI. Usually we'll have our Bible Institute in a local church. And the students will come for about a week. They'll stay there. So the they're in charge of, the church, the host church will be in charge of paying for their food and their lodging. And we provide the teacher and the materials. Okay. That's kind of how our model works. And then 2 years ago, I taught them that same, course on how to interpret the Bible. So these students are in their third year of courses and they'll graduate this coming next February. So here's a photo of the whole entire class, along with our missionary, Rick Searle, who's up there. Rick is a PCA pastor from Anniston, and he joined World Reach about 3 years ago. So he's really helping us a lot. Now, this is an interesting place in Monte Libano, Cordoba. This is our fourth BI, and we started this BI 3 years ago in February. And when we were there, they had a lot of flooding. It's a very agricultural area. So all the farmers were protesting to the government, come and help us with the flooding. And the government wasn't doing anything. So the farmers asked the truckers to come and do a strike, come and do a 18-wheeler truck strike. It'd be like all the 18-wheelers came and they like parked on I-65. To block, literally that's what they did. They blocked I-65, which is a main highway going north and south. And it was about 5 miles long, this blockade. So we couldn't get to our teaching site. And, so me and Colleen took motorbikes. Well, she's in the middle. She's like, I'm squishing her and I'm on the back. We're going to like 50 miles an hour. My feet are like this far from the pavement. I'm like, this is crazy. And I had my laptop on my backpack. So, yeah. And then another day we went.
Yeah, they want to know if y'all went over any jump.
We went off road one day. The second day, Colin goes, I ain't going. I'm staying home. Bye bye. But the next day, we ran into a herd of water buffalo. So I'm on this motorcycle taking this picture. And like, you can see this guy right here, the big dude right there. He's like, first the herd stopped and he was like eyeing me. Like, I see you. I'm coming for you. I'm like, oh Lord, please. Don't let him kill me. But then he just kind of, then the Colombian cowboy just came and, you know, herded them away, but it was dicey. But you know, now our Monte Libano BI is doing pretty well. It has 18 students. It's had a few bumps and bruises along the way, but actually we're in a pause phase right now because we always have a local coordinator, like a local pastor who coordinates our BI on the ground, you know, for us. And you know, he recruits people. He does the logistics, so forth. And this coordinator, basically had to resign. So, and we have a new one now, but we're hoping later this year we'll be able to resume classes here in this BI. So now go to Honduras and Central America. I'm trying to take too much more time. We just started a BI in El Carreto, Honduras, which is down near the Pacific coast of Honduras. Very, very hot place. I went there on my first World Reads course like 6-8 years ago, and it was like 104 degrees during the day, and there was no air conditioning. They had some fans. Like, turn those fans higher, please. Turn them on. It was really hot, but it's doing great with 38 students. They finished 6 courses last year, and they'll finish 6 more courses this year. They have a different kind of a, you know, a little bit different plan of courses in Honduras. So this month we're actually starting a new BI in Belén Gualcho, which is in Honduras, and we expect to have about 40 students in that new BI. Abner Mejia is our coordinator. He's our World Reach missionary there. He's our director for Central America and the Caribbean. So we're also opening a new Bible school for leaders in this place called Pozo Azul Rancho, with about 40 students. That's like a 1-year program to train, lay church leaders and, you know, leaders in the church. And it's basically a 1-year program. So, and we have about 100 students in 2 sites in that same kind of that 1-year program in Honduras. So now in about 2 weeks, me and several of our missionaries will go to the Dominican Republic. Anybody been to the Dominican Republic? All right. Good. We have actually Decatur Presbyterian has been going to the Dominican for 20 years doing like medical missions, right? And they have developed a great relationship with, several pastors down there who Pastor Carlos is our main contact. And he has an orphanage. He has a Christian school, kind of like mini Briarwood in Dominican. And, he wants to start a BI. So we're going to go down there in a couple weeks and y'all can pray that, he's really hard to communicate with because he's so busy. So pray that he'll have good communication with us and that will go well. In Peru, we have almost finished. We have, 2 BIs in Peru. We just had 2 graduations in November. So I went down there in November. We had 50 students graduate, in 2 different locations. The first one was in Alao, which is up in northeast Peru, kind of, in a kind of a jungle farming area. We had 27 students graduate and several hundred people, were in attendance. This is very special for the folks there when they go to a graduation, because many of these students have never graduated from anything really, and they've worked so hard, and it's a very, very special occasion for their churches and for their families. So we literally have several hundred people who attend. And the second week I went to our BI in Cuevas, which is up near kind of the northern, kind of near Ecuador, northern Peru. Up in the mountains, very, very rural. So you have to take a 4x4, truck to get up the mountain, get up to this place. It's like a dirt road. And, we used to have no internet at all, but now we finally got a cell tower. Anyway, we taught them a course on expository preaching, which was really cool. And, then at the end of that week, they had their graduation and 23 students graduated. So, again, here's actually, this is just in the church building, but outside there was probably another 150, 200 people outside because they couldn't fit in the building, you know, for the graduation. When we were in Peru, we went to Huánuco because one of my good friends who is a Hispanic pastor in Birmingham is from this city. And, he is actually, I think he grew up in this church. And so he introduced us to his friends, his pastor friends in Huánuco. And now we're starting a BI in Huánuco. God works in, really, God works through relationships, you know, through relationships of trust. So we had 50 people there for, this is up in the Andes Mountains. It's kind of a valley. And, we arrived in Lima like on a Sunday or Saturday, maybe Friday. And, we flew up to Huánuco. Let me see if I remember how this worked. Yeah. We flew up to Huánuco from Lima and we got there. We did our conferences and so forth. And then on Wednesday, we're supposed to fly back to Lima so we could go on to the other sites. And all of a sudden we find out, your flight to Lima has been canceled, totally canceled. And the reason was, is the president of Peru was visiting with all his politicians, and they took our flight. Because Colleen talked to one of the guys in the hotel, and he said, "Oh yeah, we y'all were supposed to have that flight, but we took it." And so we had to we didn't want to take a bus, which is probably 15 hours or something, or 12 hours. So we hired a guy to drive us. And that was an 8-hour drive going down through the snow-capped mountains, and we finally arrived to the airport on time, thankfully. But we were exhausted. We had to leave at 4 in the morning. Anyway, so missions, right? It's part of the deal. So, you know, as a result, we were able to launch the VI in Wanaco. And we'll have I'll teach the first class there in April. So y'all can pray that goes well. That goes well. We have an online Spanish VI as well. It's called Estudios en Línea, Alcance Mundial. And we have 14 courses available in Spanish. We have about 225 average monthly users. And we have had many visits from all kinds of different countries, Honduras and U.S. and Colombia, even China, which is interesting. On a Spanish website, we have folks from China visiting. So it's interesting. So y'all can please pray for us for the launching and operation of our VIs in Colombia, Kenya, Uganda, Peru, Honduras, and other possible countries like Dominican and maybe Eswatini. For God to use the teaching of all our courses to empower and equip our students for gospel ministry. That's the most important thing, right? So they can teach and preach God's word and bring the gospel, point people to Christ, and help the church grow and reach out and reach the world for Christ. For wisdom, for me as the international VI director, for Jorge, he's our Peru director, VI director, Christian Fuentes, Colombia, Isaac Kaimeni, Kenya and Uganda, and Abner, who's our Central American VI director. And just for giving so that our VIs will be fully funded. Just so you know, Briarwood has funded our VIs very generously for the last 10 years. So we couldn't do any of this without Briarwood. And I think we have probably 9 World Reach missionaries supported by Briarwood, including me and Colleen. So thank y'all so much for your faith promise giving. It's doing great things. And I don't know if you have any questions. Yes, sir.
Of all those programs, which one is sort of are you most excited about and why?
The BI, the Bible Institute, is kind of our flagship program. That's the one that we're most excited about. Of all those, maybe the Cucuta one is the biggest one. It's about 40 students. But they're all exciting in their own way, you know, because they're really impacted. If you hear the testimonies of some of our graduates who have been through the program, they're just so grateful to, they learn how to study the Bible. They learn how to preach. They learn how to pastor. And they would not have had any of this training, without the VIs. So yeah, all of them are really exciting. What else?
So, Brad, haven't you at times had to go to the people and not been in picturesque locations like you just showed us on the slide?
I'm never in picturesque locations. Well, some of those look, you know, very nice. But like in Cuevas, you go up to this little village and it's all just dirt roads, right? I stay at the pastor's house, who has an adobe house, you know, made out of adobe like clay, basically. And so I sleep in this room that is about maybe 8 feet square. And so it just has room for the bed. And you hang your clothes on a little wire. And so you try not to hit your head on the adobe thing when you go underneath it. It's really dark. But it's worth it. Yeah. So it's not a comfortable thing. But it's worth it because you're serving the Lord, helping this kingdom grow. Yes, sir.
Baby, yeah.
Well, because you know Kenya, the if their mom went into prison, they, you know, where would this baby go? They just committed some kind of crime, you know. Whatever kind of crime, yeah, sure, just like here, they committed some kind of crime, and so they're in prison. But they allow, you know, the kid, they allow the baby or little child to be with them for up until about 4 years old. Yeah, y'all can pray for that. Those prisoners. Yeah.
When, two things. Number one, when you're going into some of these places, and you're student hermeneutic, I'm thinking, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
Would I be able to pass a course like that? level that you're working with?
It kind of varies. Like Medellin would be a higher level of education. Generally, it's a lower level of education, especially in the rural areas like Cuevas, Peru. That would be, you know, elementary, middle, high school level. Generally speaking, that's what you're looking at, kind of like a high school level of education. So you're trying to make it as simple, but we're still giving them, you know, we're giving them meat. We're not like watering it down.
I want to share a story quickly that from our member as a young girl, one of the missionaries who stayed with us a lot was a man named Les Thompson. He had a ministry called Logos to Latin America.
Yeah.
And I remember him sharing that they had done so much evangelism.
Yeah.
And by the time they went back, the Mormons had come in and taken so many of their companies. And I'm just thinking, this is so vital that these pastors are trained so that the cults and things, you know, they can recognize.
Absolutely. And actually, we saw several Mormon missionaries in Kenya when we were coming back from the prison. Yeah. It really does help them to be equipped and to be able to train their people. You know, they're going to be training their people. How to discern, how to, you know, say this is not good, this is false doctrine. The prosperity gospel is, you know, rampant. So we teach about that a lot of other things. Yes, sir.
Native languages for the Amazon.
Yeah.
And having it on the apps and having the books, the Bible. So how many can you read with that language?
How many can read which language?
The Indian languages back in the Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Well, mainly the members of that group who that's a good question as far as how many can read. I'm not sure the rate of literacy. All the students that are in our class can read. They have to read, you know, to be able to be in the class. But I think a lot of missionaries are using kind of the oral telling stories, because a lot of people can't read, you know, but it's still a vital, great need to translate those scriptures into those tribal languages.
Get it on an audiobook?
Maybe, I don't know, but not the Old Testament. It hasn't been translated in a lot of those languages. Yes, sir.
Well, in all of these areas or countries where the people are open,
yes, sir.
Is there government or political acceptance in Christian outreach?
Let's see. In general, yes. Like we're exploring now the possibility of doing a BI in India, and there, no. You have to be really careful, because there's a Hindu kind of a president who's very kind of radical Hindu. And he wants to be nice to America, but he doesn't like Christians, and Christians are being persecuted badly in India. So, but in the other countries, generally, it's kind of freedom of religion. Just depends on the location, but generally we do have freedom to do what we're doing, you know, which is good. Thank y'all. Thanks for your prayers. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm going to close in prayer and it's such a blessing to have you and Colleen.
Thank you.
In our class.
I wish you could be here.
I know. Tell her we missed her. So let me pray for you.
Can we just add one real quick thing? Is that, so we do give as a church through World Mission.
Yeah.
So your gift to World Mission do go there. But they do accept support by meeting.
WorldReach.org. Yeah. Great. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, again, we just come to you. We are blessed to hear this. It's just a reminder of this critical nature of this work and how hard it is. And Brad's willingness to do that in your spirit, Colleen, and the sacrifice. So we pray that they would feel really encouraged and how much we admire their work, love them, pray for them, hopefully support them
And they would, it's a discouraging work probably in many ways, but I pray for great personal encouragement for Brad and Colleen and for them to just rejoice with these people who receive Christ. And we rejoice with them. Thank you, Father, and I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.